Well, we're looking at sharing Jesus as we did last week and the week before, being His disciple. As we just mentioned in the beginning, He's given us this mission, go and make disciples. Well, I can't make a disciple unless I am a disciple. You can't lead somebody where you are not. And so, first of all, we are His disciple. Those who have repented and put their faith in Him, we've become His disciple. And what does a disciple look like? It's somebody that looks like Jesus, somebody that has been born again and they've been made brand new, and they're connected to His body and they're using their gifts and they're looking more and more like Jesus. It's someone that God in Romans chapter 8 talks about. He is conforming us into the image of His Son. Somebody who's looking more and more like Jesus, which is the goal. And so if we want to look like Jesus, we need to do what Jesus did and act like Jesus. And so we need to be active about sharing Jesus. Jesus came preaching, the kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news. And we need to be sharing Him with those around us. Just like God tells us in Philemon 6, this great prayer for you and for me, I pray that you may be active in sharing your faith so that you will have a full understanding of every good thing we have in Christ. And so obviously, we won't have a full understanding of every good thing we have in Christ unless we're active in sharing our faith. And so let's get better about it. Let's learn as we're on this mission, just like the mission space, we're on the mission that Jesus has sent us on. And so let's get some of His instruction. Let's watch Him at work here, sharing His faith, sharing about Himself, the Messiah, with this woman at the well. And so turn to John chapter 4, and we'll continue in looking at share Jesus. And in John chapter 4, Jesus is talking with this woman at the well. And I just looked down, and before I stood up here, and Christian was nudging me, he said, look, I don't even know if you knew I was preaching on this today, but Here's a picture of it. This is what we're looking at here. There's a well here. Here's the water, the ground. It says Jesus right here. And the bubble says, may I have a drink? And here's a woman here with the bright sun. It must be about noon, as it was here. And the woman says, but you are a Jew. And we're going to look at that in just a second. And she says, I'm a Samaritan woman. I'll bring this back to you, but you got to listen. Yeah. Don't be drawing pictures of Phineas and Ferb or something. Only Jesus. And so he's at this well with this woman, and he's tired from his journey. And his disciples have left. They've gone into the town to buy some food. So he finds himself alone there. And this woman comes out at noon day, which is not the time to come and draw water. So maybe she had a bad reputation. Maybe she didn't want to be around other people, but she comes out to get this water, and Jesus begins to talk with her. I know we continue to read it, but let's read it again. John chapter 4. It says the Pharisees heard that Jesus was gaining and baptizing more disciples than John, although in fact it was not Jesus who baptized, but His disciples. When the Lord learned of this, He left Judea and went back once more to Galilee. Now he had to go through Samaria. So he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about the sixth hour. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone into the town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews do not associate with Samaritans. Jesus answered her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. Amen. Sir, the woman said, you have nothing to draw with and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons and his flocks and herds? Jesus answered, everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. The woman said to him, sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water. He told her, go, call your husband and come back. I have no husband, she replied. Jesus said to her, you are right when you say you have no husband. The fact is, you've had five husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband. What you have just said is quite true. Sir, the woman said, I can see that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem. Jesus declared, believe me, woman, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in spirit and in truth. The woman said, I know that Messiah called Christ is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us. Then Jesus declared, I who speak to you am he. Well, I want to be like Jesus. I know you do too. Here's the perfect model of somebody sharing their faith. Sharing Jesus. Now, I know he was Jesus. He's sharing himself. But here's the perfect model of him sharing with someone about himself. So let's learn some more of what we can. Well, as you know, we're going through all those letters. Share Jesus. All caps. And last week we looked at the S, H, and A, to share him, to share Jesus, we need to be spirit-filled. What was our S? We need to know he is with you. He's pretty good at it. That making disciples thing, he's pretty good at it. He's the master at it. And the good news is he is with you. He is in you. It's not about you. It's about him. It's about him working through you to do it. And so you don't have to be afraid because he is with you. He wants to do it through you. And he's pretty good at it. So he will share himself through you. So spirit-filled, if you want to share Jesus, you need to be spirit-filled. Know that he is with you is the H. And the A is act on his plan. And we know it's his plan to make disciples, to be making disciples, to do that together as a body of Christ with all our spiritual gifts and to do it on our own everywhere we go, to be doing that. Making disciples. He who wins souls is wise, as God tells us. And so let's camp out this morning on the R, the E, and the J. And so next, if we want to share Jesus, the R stands for recognize right timing. We need to recognize right timing. You see, it might not feel like a good time to share your faith. Something could be going on in your life and you may get the idea to try to share with this person. And then your next thought may be, oh, this is not a good time. This would not work. Well, it wasn't a good time as we logically look at this passage of Scripture. And we look at verse 6. Any of us here could say it wasn't a good time for Jesus to be sharing his faith. He probably didn't feel like it. It says in verse 6, Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about the sixth hour. So it's noon, it's hot, he's tired from the journey. He may not have felt like striking up a conversation with this woman and sharing himself with this woman. Who knows? But we need to recognize the right timing. It might not feel like a good time to share your faith, but we've got to recognize God's call and the prompting of the Holy Spirit. And when he's telling us to do that, recognize the right timing. The good Samaritan that Jesus told about. Jesus told this story about the good Samaritan. And Jesus told about this man who was beaten and laying on the side of the road. And two people walked by. And if you look at the passage, you could make that argument. It wasn't a good time for those two people. They had their own agenda. They were on their way to something. It wasn't a good time to stop for this man who was bleeding on the side of the road. But the third one, the Samaritan, stopped and he bandaged his wounds and he helped this man recognize good timing. Recognize the right time. It might not feel like a good time. You might be on your way to a meeting or you might be on your way carrying out your agenda. But will you recognize God's interruptions? Will you recognize God's opportunities? Well, how do you do that? How can you do that? How do you know if you're on your way to somewhere and you know you're supposed to do this, you got to get this thing done, and then there's an interruption and you see something else going on? How do you know if you stop and you take care of this other thing when you're supposed to be over here? Or how do you know? Well, you stay Spirit-filled. Go back to our S. Go back to the S. We need to be Spirit-filled and Spirit. Well, you stay Spirit-filled and you'll know when it's God's interruption. If you stay filled with the Spirit and surrendered to the Lord, having left everything, died to self, focused on Jesus, filled with His Spirit, letting Him be in control, then when those interruptions come, you'll know where He wants you to go, what He wants you to do. Stay Spirit-filled. And so you'll hear His voice. You'll know when He's leading you to go in a different direction. You'll know when it's His interruption or not, when it's the interruption of something else, the world or your own flesh or the devil interrupting. Stay Spirit-filled. Recognize right timing. It might not feel like a good time. You know, it must not have felt like a good time to Jesus and the disciples when Jesus had learned about his cousin, John the Baptist, dying. And they had been working very hard, ministering. And Jesus said, "Come away with me to a remote place." He got his 12 disciples. And he said, come away with me to a remote place and get some rest. Well, that was the plan. That was the goal. That's what they needed. That's what they needed to do. And so they headed out. But little did they know, the crowd realized where they were going on the lake. And so they all headed around the other side of the lake. And they were all tons of people waiting on when they went to try to go to a remote place and get some rest. And they get there and there's tons of people waiting on them. And Jesus looks and he has compassion on them. And what does he do? He feeds the 5,000. He recognized the Father's interruption. They needed some rest. It must not have felt like a good time. Jesus had planned for him and the disciples to go to a remote place and get some rest. But they end up instead spending time with 5,000 plus people and feeding them and teaching and, you know, however much time they spent with them. But why? Jesus recognized right time. He didn't feel like it probably, but he recognized that this was the Father's will. He had compassion on them. He was always in tune with the Father. And that doesn't mean he met every need that he saw. Jesus left tons of needs unmet. He met the needs that the Father wanted him to do. There's a lot of important things out there. There's a lot of good, godly things out there. But there's the one thing at any given moment, at any given time, that the Lord wants you to do, that He wants you focused on. Jesus took them to that remote place, but they ended up feeding the 5,000. Recognize right timing. It might not feel like a good time. God tells us in His Word in the Proverbs, many are the plans in a man's heart, but it's the Lord's purpose that prevails. You may have your plan lined out, but it's the Lord's purpose that prevails. This played out in my own life. Just before we went to Disney, my car died somewhere on the way to AUM, on the way to the orthodontist. I was at AUM's campus, and my car died. Well, Anna needed to get to the orthodontist. Allison was right there. She was able to continue with Anna. But I didn't plan that. That wasn't in the agenda. The plan was to get Anna to the orthodontist, but the car died. Recognize right timing. Well, one of the workers from AUM, a young guy named Justin, came up and tried to see if I needed some help. Well, I got to share the Lord with him. I got to share the gospel with Justin and talk about his faith and his family and his relationship and how they're all doing in the Lord, and got to be praying for him. Recognize God's interruptions. The E stands for inner conversation. Strike up a conversation. To share Jesus, not only do you need to be, last week, Spirit-filled, know that He is with you. He's great at it. Act on His plan. Recognize right timing. It might not feel like a good time, but recognize God's time. And then the E stands for enter a conversation. If you're going to share Jesus, you've got to enter this conversation. And so, strike up a conversation. We see that in verse 7 and 8. Jesus is tired. He probably doesn't feel like talking, but verse 7 and 8. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone into the town to buy food. So he strikes up a conversation with this woman. How is he ever going to share himself with this woman if he doesn't strike up a conversation? At Disney, there's this great ride. It's called Everest something. It's a roller coaster, Expedition Everest. And they had a single rider line. And we discovered that there was a party of 10 of us, but we discovered that we could go a lot quicker if we got in a single rider line where you get up to the front of that, and then the Disney people are looking for a single rider to go with two or three others, and they say, "Single rider." And you, so you can ride a lot faster, but you're with somebody you don't know. You're with a stranger. And so part of the fun of it was we would all get off after riding the ride. That was a lot of fun. But then the second funnest thing was to get off and say, "Who'd you ride with? Where were they from? What'd they look like? What'd y'all talk about?" That was a lot of fun. And one of my nieces, we were all sharing about who it was and what we said and that kind of thing. And one of my nieces at one of the rides said, "Well, you know, we didn't talk about anything. You know, I don't know who it was or anything." And so I mentioned fire to her. I said, well, you know, it can be hard, especially if you're a shy person. This can be hard. Enter a conversation. Strike up a conversation. It can be a hard thing. She's not necessarily this way, but I just told her, I said, hey, remember this, fire. And that's a great way to start up a conversation with anybody. Family, interests, religion, eternal life. You can get all the way to the gospel with that. But everybody likes to talk about their family. Just talk about their family. You know, hey, tell me about your family. Are you married? Do you have children? Do you have brothers and sisters? Your interests. What do you do? What do you like to do? Are you in school? Do you at Disney, I guess. Where are you from? You know, but their family, their interests, religion. You know, do you have any kind of spiritual beliefs? Just listen, let them talk. Or do you go to a church anywhere? Religion. And then that can lead to, once you start to talking about religion, you get to the E, that can lead to, hey, well, how do you feel about Jesus? Do you feel like you know Him, like you have a relationship with Him? Or is that something you're kind of searching for or working on? Or how do you feel about that? And then all of a sudden you're talking about Jesus and the gospel. And that's the next thing. And Jesus gets there, doesn't He? In our text, He gets there. And pretty soon He says, if you knew the gift of God, and who it is, Jesus. He's talking about Jesus. He said, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that asked you for a drink, you would have asked Him and He would have given you living water, you know. And so enter a conversation, strike up a conversation. Anybody can do that. It doesn't matter how shy you are. Use fire because you have to strike up a conversation to share Jesus right then. If you're going to share Jesus right then, you've got to strike up a conversation. I know your example is powerful. I know that. I know one of our church fathers said, share the gospel with everybody, and if necessary, use words. And I know that's true. I know it's our example. And yes, you are the light of Christ everywhere you go. And I know your actions speak louder than your words. But what if Jesus and the disciples were just good examples? What if Peter and Paul were just good examples? What if Jesus sent out the 12 or the 72 without those instructions to go and preach this word? The kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news. What if he just sent them all out every time and said, be a good example everywhere you go? It helps to get to the words. And if you want to share Jesus with somebody, right away, immediately, on the roller coaster or wherever, you got to strike up a conversation. And so, to share Jesus, just bringing it back to today, recognize right timing, enter conversation. You got to strike up that conversation. And then, finally, today, the J is Jesus and His gift. Well, get there in your conversation. Get there to talk about the gift of God, the gift that God has for you, and Jesus. Get there somehow. Jesus and His gift. Talk about the gift of God and Jesus. I just mentioned it in verse 10. He says, if you knew, he realized her need was water. That's what she was after. And she was trying to get water, and she had come there to draw water. But he used her need to talk about the gift of God and Jesus. He used her need, what she was really focused on, what she was desiring, what she was needing. He used that to talk about the gift that God had for her and Jesus. You can use the needs, anybody that you're talking to, the needs that they have, what they're very interested in. You can use that to talk about the gift that God has for them in Jesus. You can get there with it. Relate the gift of God and Jesus to their need. We were at Epcot. I'll get it out. There's a ride there called Test Track, and you get in this car. It's by Chevrolet, and supposedly you design your own car, and it's supposed to be a test track. You know, they get the car built, and then they run it on the test track. You know, super fast and through extreme weather situations, and, you know, they test drive, you know, they do a test on these cars. Well, you get to ride in it while they're doing the test on this car. It's called Test Track. Well, we finished riding that, and then, of course, Chevrolet, being there at Disney, they've got a showroom of cars once you finish. So they might be selling some cars there, too. But so you get out, and you're looking at all these cars in the showroom. Well, I'm standing next to this young guy looking at this beautiful canary yellow Corvette, the latest year. And he's just looking at me. Oh, and I'm standing there next to him, and he just turns to me. He starts the conversation. He's like, wow, you know, that is incredible. He said, but you know what? I think it was the 67 model. Some of you car guys know it. But he liked an older Corvette a lot better. He was like, man, I like that old Corvette. He said, I'm restoring one right now. He was like a teenager. He might have been early 20s, but he was like, I'm restoring one right now. I'm working on it. I was like, man, tell me about it. Tell me. You know, I was listening. We were talking about these Corvettes. And I had just looked at this message. I have everything on my phone now. Earlier in Disney, I had just kind of been looking at this message, just kind of letting it sink into me, my spirit. And God hit me with that point, you know. Use what somebody's interested in to share the gift in Jesus. So I got out, and how else can you get on that gift of God in Jesus? How else can you go there? You can carry some tracts with you and some pocket crosses. I always have about 4 pocket crosses and 3 tracts. That's what I try to keep in my pocket. But they're out there on the tables. I told my kids, well, my whole family, as we got to Disney, I've got tons of pocket crosses and tracts. You know, y'all let me know whenever you need it. And we had a whole bag that Miss Mary Frank and Miss Mary Louise, they put them all together. This last time, the Harding girls had put them all together for us. And I had a whole bag, and they're about gone, you know. So thank you for praying for us at Disney, being on mission in Disney. We had so many experiences with that. But you can always get to the gift of God in Jesus just by carrying a few things like this with you. And you're in that conversation and you pull out a pocket cross and you say, would you like to have one of these? And there sits a cross staring them in the face that says, Jesus is Lord. And they're looking at that. And you have an opportunity to say, this is just a little reminder. Anytime you see it, to let Jesus be above everything. Boom, you're talking about Jesus. You've moved there already. Or one of these. This is just a little booklet. Look at the cover. What do you think it takes for a person to go to heaven? This is how the Bible answers that. Boom, you're already talking about the gift of God, eternal life. And so use these tools to get there. So I'm standing there with the guy at the canary yellow Corvette, and I just get out a pocket cross. I said, hey, would you like to have one of these? He said, oh, yeah, that's cool, thanks. And I said, listen, I tell you what, tried to use what was going on. I said, I tell you what, talk about the ultimate restoration. So I said, man, that's what Jesus does. I said, he takes people that are broken and messed up. And I told him about, I used to drink way too much, all these things. He takes somebody like that and then he restores people. He gives them a new heart and a new life. And he knew. He was like, oh, yeah. He was like, man, I'm all about that. He's like, I go to my youth group and everything. I was like, cool. I said, be sharing it with other people. You know, I probably gave him a track. So we need to do that. Share about Jesus and his gift. And so to share Jesus all together now, so far, be Spirit-filled. He is with you. He's good at it. Just depend on him. Act on his plan. Recognize right timing. Enter conversation. You got to strike up that conversation. Jesus and his gift. Get there. And use these tools to get there. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to be your witnesses as you've told us we are. Lord, thank you that it's not up to us. It's up to you. That we just need to be willing and open, and that by the power of your Holy Spirit, you will go in us and through us and give us the words to say and the actions to take. And you will be the one who brings people to yourself. You will be the one who makes disciples as we are willing and we trust you and we step out on faith and do what you tell us to. So help us in these things, Lord. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.